the Financial Sense Midweek Edition with Jim Poplava. Delving in-depth with authors and experts into the key economic issues.
Well, one of the nice things about retirement is you can go anywhere you want, anytime you want. Not like it was when you were working, when you had to set up your vacation schedule. There were time limits. And so traveling is at the top of the list of most people's retirement agenda. It's on the bucket list. The things you wanted to do were never had the time before. Joining me as my special guest on the program today is Richard Turin. He's from LuxuryCruisingRatings.com. He has been awarded one of the top travel consultants in the United States, the world's best small luxury cruise ship specialist by Condé Nast Traveler magazine. Richard, one of the things I've been dying to ask you is we live in this digital age, the internet age, where we have more information. I think of, 15, 20 years ago when I took a vacation, I went into my travel agent, we booked our vacation. Today, there's all kinds of things that are out there. People are doing it online. There's online sites. Let's talk about if we were planning a vacation, where's the best place to go to plan it? And where's the best information sources to go to? Is it a travel agent? Is it on the internet? Is it someone like yourself? Let's start with that and maybe define what is a travel agent.
That's a very good and sort of a large question, Jim, and it's a pleasure to be here. You do good work, and I appreciate the invitation. I would say, first of all, that I really would like your listeners to understand that no professional pays any attention to what's on the internet. It pretty much is a bait and switch, and bait and switch laws, by the way, have never been applied to the travel industry. The people who sell online are trying to grab the viewer. Quite often they're based in Bangladesh, but you don't know that. The idea that they would have better pricing is ludicrous because, your listeners are professional business people. Many of them are retired. They understand business. What kind of business would we have if America's second largest industry was based on giving different distributors completely different prices? It just never happens. It never happens that the internet people get one price and the travel agents or consultants get another price. Doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, most of the travel suppliers have very strict rules that if you were ever caught discounting their products beyond their regular discounted rate, which is available to everyone, you would lose the right to sell that product. So be very, very careful about the internet. I will tell you, I think you're aware, I'm the senior contributing editor at the Big Industry magazine, so I wear a second hat. And that's called Travel Weekly. And we have a story that we're working on at Travel Weekly where they have just come out with facts that indicate that over 11 million hotel reservations, for instance, have been made online by consumers thinking they were booking directly with the hotel site. And what they were doing was booking with a mimic site, pretending to be the hotels. That happens with cruise lines as well. It is a dangerous way to go. The other thing is that if there's a problem, and in travel, sometimes there are problems, the internet can be a place where you're not going to get your problem solved because the suppliers don't want their stuff sold on the internet. I want to explain why briefly. Let's suppose that one of your listeners decides to book a Crystal cruise and they have some questions. They're not going to call the internet seller, possibly in Bangladesh, possibly in the United States, but they are, it's a big boiler room with people wearing headsets. That's what online travel sellers are. So what they're going to do is they're going to call the cruise line to try to get some answers. And the cruise line's position as a business is, why are we paying you people online to sell our product if you're taking these phone calls and having them all routed back to us where we have to pay people to answer them? So they don't particularly like internet sellers. And you really want to work with someone who has some clout. And finally, there's this. If somebody calls a cruise line directly and books directly with the cruise line, not only are you talking to a salesperson for that line who may never have been on any of the ships, and who is a commission salesperson. But you are still going to be charged the commission. You are always charged the commission. It's built into their pricing. No cruise line has ever refunded or returned the commission to the guest. And on a typical cruise, that commission is over $1,000. And you're getting nothing for it. So what I think I would advise your listeners is, since you're paying it anyway, maximize the service you're getting and make sure that you get something for that money.
So when you go on the internet, because a lot of people are internet savvy today, they shop and you see these ads. I just put cheap travel and put it in Google. I've got cheap Carnival cruises, cheap celebrity cruises, cheap Norwegian cruises. So all kinds of ads out there selling me special offers and deals. So what you're saying, Richard, is a lot of this is just fluff or bait and switch.
Well, we're talking about two or three playing fields. So let me explain that. First of all, not one of the lines you mentioned is in the world's top 10 cruise lines. And one of them is a major budget line. It's sort of, if it's analogous to hotels, you're talking about Holiday Inns. You're not talking about Hyatts. You're not talking about Four Seasons or Ritz-Carlton's or Mandarin Orientals. You're talking about cruise lines that cater to people, many of whom used to be traveling on Greyhound buses, and now for the same amount of money can go on a cruise. This is a budget operation where the consumer is charged for everything. You want bottled water, you're going to be charged for it. You want a Coca-Cola, you're going to be charged for it. Tips, you're charged for it. To dine on decent food that isn't flash frozen institutional food, you're going to have to pay extra. There are extra charges. Who is the crew working on these budget lines? What are they paid? What are the safety concerns? Where are they going? There are ports, for instance, that some of the budget lines visit in the Caribbean that have terrible safety records, where the cruise consumer is never told that this particular island has one of the highest crime rates in the world. We don't tell that to consumers. Instead, we show them photos of beautiful beaches. They need to know this. And so, yes, when you're talking about the entry-level cruise lines, everything is a deal. But it is a structured deal. In other words, there's a list price, just like when you buy an automobile, and you are expecting a discount. And so the discounts are built in. The online sites make it seem like it's exclusive to them. It isn't. Everybody gets the same deals. And why do they get the same deals? How do you know? Because your listeners are intelligent consumers. You cannot run a business where you go and you give some people a preferred rate because they're on the internet. It just doesn't work that way. Everybody who is licensed to sell cruises is getting the same price for cruises. No matter what they tell you, that's the truth. That's the bottom line.
Are there special times of the year that travel is cheaper? For example, I often visit Scottsdale because my family lives there. And Richard, if I book a hotel room in August and September when the temperatures are up, I'm paying a fraction of the cost of what I'm going to pay in the winter. Are there specific times of the year that you can get better deals, whether it's a cruise company or it's a hotel someplace, that the prices are cheaper?
The answer is, first of all, why would you? Why would you want the cheapest anything? This is what's important to know. Your average listener, I've never met them. I hear they're nice people, but I haven't met them. But I'm going to make an assumption because I know this to be statistically true. They will spend more money in an average year with their travel consultant than they will spend with their physician, their attorney, or their accountant. That's a fact. Now, do you look for the cheapest physician for a diagnosis? Do you look for the cheapest attorney? I mean, this whole idea of cheap is something that was perpetuated by the online sites because that's their selling tool. Think about it this way. If you went at the worst time of year when you save the most money and you get the cheapest price, who do you think your fellow guests are going to be on the ship or in the hotel? Would you want to stay at a hotel that appealed to people who were only there because of the price? What kind of fellow guests do you think you might have? Who do you think you might meet? Do you think you might make lifelong friends? The other thing is that, you know, when you look at it, what the consumer is not told and what we need to start telling them is that the politicians can debate climate change all they want. When you work in the travel industry, we see it every day. Now, the tourism boards have tried to keep this out of the news, but it is a fact that last summer, Europe had the warmest summer since they began keeping records. Terrible heat and humidity. That's in June, the second half of June, July, and August. Yet, we continue to send people there. You walk off a cruise ship in Civita Vecchia, the port for Rome, and you're going to be drenched if you're traveling in July or August. Yet, the cruise lines sometimes call this prime season. So it depends where you're going. There are smart times to go. The smart travel to Europe, for instance, goes between April 15th and June 10th. They also travel between September 15th and October 10th. Those are the prime seasons for most of the Mediterranean. Now, if you're going to the Baltic and you're going north in Europe, then that's a little bit different. As you travel north, it's okay to go in August. It's okay to go in July. But anything south in the southern part of Europe, anything in the Caribbean, anything during hurricane season, these are times where you're going to see lower prices, but it's not worth it. It's a terrible time to go.
All right. Let's take a situation. A couple just retires. They really want to go to Europe. They've never traveled overseas. They've never been in a situation. Maybe most of their vacations have been domestic. So you're going to a foreign country. Let's take Europe, for example. If you were to advise somebody that's planning that vacation, let's say they wanted to go for 2 or 3 weeks, do they go through a package tour? Do they go with a private tour, maybe go one country and really see the country thoroughly? I have a client that's a very experienced traveler, and that's what he likes to do. He told me, he said, Jim, if you want to go someplace, pick one country and really get to see it. And what about language? Do you get a guide? How would you advise this couple that's planning their first trip to Europe or an extended vacation? It could be to South America, it could be to Asia, wherever it is, but let's begin with Europe.
Well, I have to tell you, I've been doing this for 30 years, and that's one of the best questions I've ever heard. I like that question. The answer is, I wouldn't advise the person. I need to get to know the person, Jim. I need to get to know their likes, their dislikes. I need to know one very important thing, and that is, what degree of socialization are they seeking? Do they want to be with other people? When they have dinner at night, do they want to be alone, just the two of them talking about their day? Or do they think it would be more fun to be with a group of like-minded people, maybe in a tour group or on a cruise ship? I once had a very upscale client who could afford to travel any way he wanted. He only goes on escorted tours. I once asked him why, and I'll never forget what he told me. He said, Richard, we're not lonely travelers. I said, tell me what you mean by that. And he said, I can't think of anything that would be lonelier. You know, I love my wife and we're together all the time. But, you know, to sit in the back of a limousine, you know, with a driver up front taking us around and no one else to talk to, he said, that's not our idea of fun. That sort of is antisocial. So, you know, let's suppose these first timers, Jim, let's suppose they wanted to go, let's take France, for instance. There are cruise lines that go to France. There are escorted tours. There are bicycle companies. There are private arrangements that can be made that are incredible. There are French barges, hotel barges, that travel the waterways with a very small contingent of guests. There are river boats. So in other words, the first timer who says, I want to go to Europe and I want to see Paris and some of France, right away we have 5 or 6 scenarios. So what they need to do is find someone who cares enough about their vacation to talk to them about it, to listen to what they have to say, and to probe enough to really determine what the best option for them is. This involves budget. It involves the time of year. But it's really a style. You have many style choices when you travel. And you need to know the upside and the downside of all of them. For instance, when someone contacts us, you know, they'd like to be a client, we don't try to sell them anything. We first send them a questionnaire, a rather detailed questionnaire. We want to know, for instance, do they have any difficulty walking? What are their past travel experience? What was the best and worst travel experience they've ever had? Are they concerned about getting seasick? These are things that we really want to put together. And there's one question that to me is the most important question. and I love getting responses to it. And the question is, what would I have to do to have you return from this vacation and in 6 months tell a friend it was the greatest vacation of your life? And if you ask people that, they will tell you. Once you know that, you know how to begin approaching it. So I would say, yes, we need to know where people want to go. First timers, for instance, have to make a decision. Do they want to see a few countries and get an overview since they've not been there before? Or do they want to do one country in depth? You have to find out if they have a propensity to cruise. Do they look favorably upon it? Are they willing to look at something of quality as opposed to mass market? Because most of your listeners, if we put them on a mass market ship, they will come back and say they never want to go on a cruise again. Because the world of the 5-star ships and even the 4-star ships is very different than the big lines that you see advertised all the time and you hear about. You know, traveling with 5,000 of your best friends on a cruise ship is very different than being with a few hundred people on a cruise ship where they know your name by the second day. It's a different crowd. It's a different type of experience.
Let's talk about cruising versus going to a country, staying in hotels. One of the things I found with my in-laws who did a lot of traveling in their early years of retirement, Richard, they were going to Europe. They were staying in hotels. They tended to go to a specific area, a country, whether it was Italy, whether it was France, or it was England. Later on, as they got older, they found they loved cruising on private, smaller cruise ships because they could pull into port if they wanted to go out that day, see the town. They could always come back. They didn't have to worry about packing their bags, going to another hotel. Let's talk about why cruising has become so popular with many folks today, whether they're retired or not retired.
The fastest growing segment of the entire travel industry over the last 5 years has been European river cruising. There are river boats in other parts of the world, and actually they tend to be better products than the products we have in Europe. But river cruising is extremely popular. And then why cruising has become popular? I think because when people start investigating cruising, they find out if they've got a good consultant, and notice I didn't say travel agent, and your listeners need to know the difference. A travel agent, the word agent means agent of the airlines. That's where the term developed, and it used to be that you actually got plates and you were authorized to write airline tickets. So when you walk into a travel agency, that is an agency of the airlines, and their major business, it's estimated that between 70 to 80% of what they do is churn out airline tickets. And they all have the airline computers, and they sit there with their headset on, and they press the little magic keys, and they don't let you see the screen. The screen is only facing them, and you sit across from them, and in a very learned way, they tell you about your vacation. That's very different than going to a consultant. And by the way, you don't pay fees in any case, because the commission is built in. You don't pay for a travel agent, and you shouldn't pay anything for a good consultant. So you do have your choice. A consultant is someone who does not kick out airline tickets, but who plans the best moments in people's lives. That's what we do. That's all we do. I've never written an airline ticket in my life because I'd rather, if you came to me and you want to use miles or you want to upgrade or you want this or that in terms of air, there are about 8 or 9 scenarios. You know, I have friends who are the best at specializing in different types of air ticketing. There's one gentleman who's won every award, has been in the New York Times, and, you know, has been on the Condé Nast list, and all he does is use miles to get you free tickets. That's what he does. There's another company that specializes in upgraded tickets. So we put you, if you want business class tickets, we go to someone else who has contracted rates in business class. So what we do is we direct you to the specialist. So what we're doing with our clients is we're talking to you about your vacation. We're getting to know you. We have this profile you filled out. We're talking to you about alternatives. And then after 2 or 3 conversations like that, together we kind of design a plan of action. So you want to go to a consultant, and there are lots of good ones. How do you tell the good ones? Well, there's a trick, and that is there are consortiums in this country that attract the best travel consultants. And I'll name them. One of them is Virtuoso. One of them is Signature. Those are two of the best. You can't join these organizations. You have to be invited in. You have to be nominated. Now, I'll use Virtuoso as an example because we happen to be in that organization. Virtuoso has been around for more than 20 years. There are only 308 travel firms out of 35,000 travel agencies that are in the organization. Yet, last year, we did $14.3 billion in leisure bookings. $14.3 billion. This year will be higher. So that when we're working with the cruise lines, the tour operators, you know, we're likely their top producer in the world. But more important to clients, and this is what I really want your listeners to understand, this is not a commercial for us. I don't even believe we've mentioned the name of my company, so it's certainly not a commercial. But there are other people who are just as good at what they do as we are. I just want your listeners to deal with those people and to find them. But here's the specific example. Let's use this family you're talking about that's going to Europe for the first time. Part of Virtuoso, for instance, is that we have for 20 years sought out and found the best travel planners in every major country in the world. We have four offices in France. I know these people. We meet with them twice a year. They are required to come to the States. Why do they do it? Because they want a part of the $14.3 billion pie. And they are the best at what they do. So we can do anything. Now, it used to be that, you know, when I was first written about in one of the travel magazines, one of the editors said, well, they can do anything. So I got three different people call me, Jim, who wanted to have lunch with the Pope. Now, this was before the current Pope, previous Pope. And I was meeting with the head of our Italian office, and I told them this story, and I thought it was kind of amusing. And he said, well, what did you tell them? And I said, well, we can't do everything, of course. And he sort of admonished me. And he said, Richard, we can do that. He said, if your clients want to have lunch with the Pope, there's a way we can do that. Now, that's an extreme example, but anything could be done. The other thing is that your listeners, if they work with someone in a consortium, not only are they qualified and pre-qualified, but they have deals with all the top hotels in the world. Now, can I get you a better rate than the travel agent down the street at the Ritz Hotel in Paris? Probably not. But what I can do is get you amenities. So I can get you a guaranteed upgrade. I can get you breakfast. In other words, every property in our network, there are amenities that our clients get. So that's what your listeners are entitled to. They're entitled to counseling, to a human being who will listen and understand them and get to know them well, just like their physician would. They're entitled to know air options and to be put in the hands of the best air specialists, and they're entitled to get those hotel amenities.
You know, Richard, when I think of my own health, I have a general practitioner, a doctor. I go to him for my annual physical. If I need something that's specialized, he refers me out to a specialist should I need one. Sounds to me that's what a travel consultant does.
That is exactly the right analogy, Jim. Now, it is not well known. The travel press doesn't write about this often. They don't, quite frankly, understand it. If you don't work in the industry, you don't really know how it works. And most of the people who write about travel for the mass media, you know, have no idea how things really work. The funniest example was a ship that had a lot of problems and was covered for four straight days because of its problems by CNN. And, you know, they kept referring to it as a top luxury ship. And everybody in the industry was sort of laughing because it wasn't. It wasn't anything like it. There are these differences. So, yes, your analogy is exactly right. You need someone who's going to oversee the details. For instance, let me give you a specific. When you get on an airplane, and that's a whole big subject, you've made me very happy because I haven't had to talk about the airlines because they get agitated when I talk about the airlines, Jim. So
I think most travelers get agitated.
I mean, for instance, the consumer needs to be told that there was a commission in England that was held because people who were flying long-distance flights were turning up, like pilots and flight attendants, with abnormally high cancer rates. You should keep, if you're in a window seat and you're flying during daylight hours on a long flight, that shade needs to be down. You need to never drink carbonated anything on an aircraft. because the gas in that drink at 33,000 feet will set you off for a couple of days and you'll feel badly. This is often attributed to jet lag, but quite often it has to do with the consumption of carbonated beverages on aircraft. It goes on and on. There are things a consumer really needs to know, and there are very few voices ever telling them. What we see in the industry travel press is so different than what you might read in the travel popular press. And I've been interviewed a few times by people who worked for one of the top business magazines in America, let's say, and they cover travel. Well, they've never worked in travel. They don't even understand the compensation platform. You know, the consumer's never been told that, you know, if you book directly, you're paying my fee. You could have had me for free, but you chose to throw that away, and the supplier takes that money and puts it in their pocket. Now, if you're building in a commission for services and you're not performing those services, I'm sure many of your listeners work in industry or worked in industries where that would be considered fraud, right? But in travel, it's not. Travel, it's okay. And I think that the average consumer is taken advantage of in this way time and time again.
So, Richard, if we were starting with basics, let's just take a couple. They retired. They're really looking forward to taking an extended vacation. It could be to Europe or elsewhere. I think what you're saying here is the first thing to do is, just like we tell people when it comes to their own finances, have a financial plan. So in this case, have a travel plan, have an advisor. So you would recommend, from what I've learned here, is get a travel consultant, somebody that's going to know what kind of traveling you want to do. You just mentioned, you know, do you want to be social? Do you want to be with other people you would find interesting, to meet new friends? Or is it just something that's just you and your partner or wife? But get to know what your needs are, what your budget is, you know, health issues, and really get to know and have somebody go to work for you. So your first trip, when you come back from it, as you say, is you're going to say, wow, that is the best vacation I have ever had in my life.
I'll give you a sort of a dramatic example that everybody will kind of identify with, I think, Jim. You know, I get asked all the time, and you're asking the most intelligent questions I've been asked in a long time. I always get asked about the cheapest everything, as though the consumer is an idiot with no money. Vacation is psychologically helpful to many people. It's a health necessity to other people. It is a part of people's education in many cases. Who says you should be doing the cheapest anything? I've done one-hour interviews where that was the only topic. And let me give you my favorite example. There's sort of a Richard's rule, and that is, people are always asking, how do you get the best hotel rate, the least expensive hotel room? You know what the correct answer to that is? If you know the rate, if you know what you paid for a hotel room, you're paying too much. Now, the reason for that is that, remember I told you about these offices in all of these countries all over the world that are part of these consortium groups that the better consultants all belong to? Well, they live in this country. They give a lot of business to these hotels, obviously. They do all the incoming. They may handle conventions, etc. So they get special rates that are called contracted rates. Now, part of the contract is you're not allowed to tell anyone what that rate is. So that if the couple you described is going to Europe for the first time, and I set them up with a trip in Paris, they're not going to see a hotel rate, but they will have a lower rate than if they went online or tried to book it themselves or called the hotel directly, because they would be taking advantage of the wholesale contracted rates that is lower than anything available to the general public. That's a secret that the consumer's never been told.
So getting back where we began, let me ask you this too. Let's say that you want to learn more about travel, some of the best places to see, or pique your interest on travel. Is there a publication? Is it Condé Nast? Are there online websites that you can go to, Richard, that you can find out more about travel?
We have a media group. We do 5 websites. One of them is private for our clients, but there is a website for cruises that I edit. It's called Luxury Cruise Ratings, luxurycruiseratings.com. And there is another website totally devoted to riverboats, riverboatratings.com. And then for travel Q&A, with no feedback from amateurs, just professional responses to travel questions, there's a site called traveltruth.com. Now, what's unique about these sites is we don't take any money for them. We accept no free trips, and we accept no advertising. So when the consumer goes on the site, it's only information. Then if the guest decides, if the visitor to our site decides they might like to work with us, they can figure out how to contact us. So that's one thing I would recommend. When you look at websites, I wish I could tell you, let's suppose we have a couple that wants to go to Tahiti and they want to stay at the best hotel on Bora Bora, okay, and they want a hotel review. An objective professional hotel review. It doesn't exist, Jim, online. You cannot find it. What you can find are people writing their opinions, but I will tell you that half of those people work for hotels. There's actually a name for this. This is probably another show, but there's something called buzz marketing. I wrote an article about this for the magazine. Buzz marketing means you go online and you say bad things about your competitors and good things about your product. And every one of these travel companies now, and it's in other businesses as well, they have a buzz marketing department. And to kind of put the cap on my article, I actually decided to apply for a job in buzz marketing. It took me 5 minutes, and I found a job description, and it actually used the word, Jim, sabotage. It was actually in the job description. So that when you go online and you go to these critic sites and these advisor sites, who are these people? Well, large portions of them are using phony email names and they are trying to influence decisions. Lots of them are people from the British Isles because the Aussies and the Brits have a much higher propensity to write reviews than Americans do. So they are usually skewed. So for instance, I once did a little investigation. I was on TripAdvisor, and I looked up the top hotel in Florence. Now, I used to live in Florence. I ran the American School there, so I know the city quite well. And the top hotel there is the Four Seasons, and it's considered one of the best Four Seasons in the entire Four Seasons network. But it wasn't listed in TripAdvisor's top 10 because many of the people writing reviews are people who don't even care if they have a restroom in their room. They'll go down the hall to the bathroom. So you need to know who are these people writing these reviews. So it's very hard. However, if you go to a good consultant, there is a service written by professional hotel reviewers. They don't take any money. They don't take any advertising. This is a service. It's a very expensive service that top travel professionals subscribe to. And so if you're thinking of going to Bora Bora, you can ask your consultant, I'd like you to send me the independent professional hotel inspection report for the top two hotels in Bora Bora. And they'll email those to you in an hour. And then you have real information. It's totally unavailable online.
Well, Richard, as we close, some parting comments. You know, one of the things that I'm walking away with here, the most important thing is get yourself a consultant, just like you have a general practitioner for your health, maybe a financial advisor, you have a CPA to do your taxes, but somebody that knows who you are, what your budget is, the things you like, are you social, you know, what are the things most important to you, and somebody that really knows what's out there, what's available. And from what you're telling me, a lot of these costs are already built into the cost of the hotel, to the cost of the airlines, to the cost of a lot of these things. And so at least you're going to get somebody that really knows and looks out for your best interest.
That's absolutely right, Jim. The only exception to free services is if you ask someone to plan a customized trip for you that's only for you, and they do the whole thing, they map it out, they hire the drivers, they hire the guides. They're going to charge you for that, and that's understandable. The simplest thing for your audience, I think, to remember as a takeaway is if a program exists in any kind of a brochure, then the commission is included and you're paying it. Therefore, you're entitled to free counseling services. You shouldn't have to pay a thing.
Well, listen, Richard, do you mind if I give out your website? Well, you actually have several websites. I'm just thinking of luxurycruiseratings.com.
That'd be a good one to start with. And let me give you the name of our company, if I may. It is Churchill and Turin, T-U-R-E-N, Churchill and Turin.
Okay, so you can look up Churchill and Turin, T-U-R-E-N, on the internet. Richard, thanks so much for joining us on the program. It's been a real pleasure.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks so much, Jim, and best to you and your listeners.
One of the things is we've been trying to stress, and we cover a lot of issues on this program when it concerns health, and the reason is it's going to be more expensive, so you really want to take care of yourself, not to mention the fact that you worked all your life looking forward to retirement. Why not enjoy it when you're healthy? Well, in the meantime, well, as always, we've run out of time. On behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, well, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSN. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.